This is episode 24, Purpose to Potential, Asking Questions That Make an Impact, with the Executive Director of Business Professionals of America, Dr. Luann Ross.
Welcome to Z-Rated Success. Z-Rated Success. The podcast to help educators and those who work with youth to help them succeed by standing out instead of fitting in. This is Z-Rated Success, and this is Nick Zizi.
Hey Zebra, you're in for a real treat. In this episode, we cover asking the right questions to make a greater impact, servant leadership, equity for students, and so much more. I'm so pumped and excited to bring on Dr. Ross, the Executive Director of Business Professionals of America. She is a nationally recognized professional with extensive experience in organizational administration, board governance, and program management. She has led the turnaround of two nonprofit organizations and the startup of another, all with great success. Share this out with your friends right now, zratedsuccess.com. Share on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, anywhere you can, and watch the video clips of the interview over at youtube.com/NickZZ as well. If you receive value from today's episode, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Now, without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Dr. Luann Ross. I am super excited today to have with us our next guest, Dr. Ross. Welcome to Z-Rated Success. How are you?
I am great, and I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm glad that we are able to finally get this done. I mean, it's been a while.
Me too. I'm so looking forward to our conversation today. I wish we were in person, but we're going to make the best of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how has it been with the pandemic? I know it's been a crazy time for all of us, and it's been quite just a new territory, just new things. We're doing a lot more of these virtual meetings, and we have a lot of things going on. How have you been able to navigate through all that you have to go through or do?
Well, you know, one of the things I think is so important, and a lesson that we continue to learn, and a lesson we probably should have already known, is that you have to be comfortable with uncertainty. And if this time hasn't taught us anything else, and I think sometimes that makes people very uncomfortable, and people want urgency and they want answers, but we keep learning that the answer we have today will not be the answer we have tomorrow.
Just when you think you have a plan, everything changes. It's continued to change. There are lots of people that want, you know, very definitive answers, and we've had to come to the terms with the fact that we can't provide that. What drives us is our mission, our commitment to our students, and we just keep thinking about that. Although everything we do now, we do what we call parallel planning. So we plan something, and then we plan if it's going to change. It requires a little bit more creativity, but it's what we're doing, and it's what we continue to do.
That's really good, because a lot of people, I mean, whenever things get crazy, when things, especially the uncertainty of just not knowing what's going to happen next, they crumble, they just stop. And what I like about what you've shared, which is so important, that all of us have to move, to continually move towards that goal, that mission that we have for ourselves. Now, as educators, we want to make a greater impact. And with that, tell us a little bit more about BPA. I mean, there are some who are listening to this podcast who aren't familiar with BPA, and there are those who are. So if you would, tell us a little bit about BPA.
Sure. So Business Professionals of America, which we also lovingly call BPA, is a career and technical student organization. We've been around for about 53 years, and we focus on business, marketing, entrepreneurship, digital communications, and IT. We have about 45,000 students. We're in about 30 states, and we're now international. We have students in China, Peru, and Canada. We work all year. Students work in the classroom. It's intracurricular, which means it's aligned with the curriculum that already exists in the classroom. And we work all year, and those students learn everything they need to learn about those particular topics, as well as leadership development, as well as community service. And With that, then at the end of the year, we have a national conference and they compete and they network and they meet people from other places. And it's a really remarkable experience for students. And it's a pretty remarkable experience for educators as well.
So how do I join?
Well, you go onto the website, www.bpa.org, and you reach out to us. If you already are in a state that has a state office or has a local office, we can direct you to those people and they can help you. And if not, we have independent and virtual chapters for members who perhaps are in a district or a community or an area where there are no chapters. And we have a national virtual coordinator who can help with that. So if you reach out asking about membership, it's as easy as that.
And what are the benefits for educators?
Well, I think for educators, I always say this about BPA. BPA is the three-legged stool. There is academic excellence in the areas in which we focus. There is professional development, leadership development that really we have partners from HP to Lead for Change to the AICPA that work with our students to make sure that they are really understanding what leadership looks like. And then we have a very big community service component. And so when our students leave BPA, they are well-rounded and prepared for the global workforce, but they are also more dedicated students. Students that are in career and technical education have a lower dropout rate. It's really engaging. It's really hands-on, and it really is something that people are passionate about. And so as educators, you get to work with students who are very well-rounded. You get to prepare them for the future, and you get students who are really dedicated to the work that they're doing. It's intracurricular, so it's not as if it's something extra that you have to add. It's aligned with the work that you're already doing with the students.
That is awesome. Now, let me ask you another question here about the story about Dr. Ross. How did you land here at BPA?
Oh, my goodness. So I have been doing leadership development I've been in executive leadership for a very long time, about 20 plus years. And, you know, there's a point in your life. I always say there's an old saying that says that you spend the first half of your life seeking success and the second half of your life seeking significance. Mm. I had been in executive leadership in the nonprofit sector for a long time. And I got to that point in my life, my kids were out of the house, and where I got to think about for the first time, what did I really want to do when I grew up? You know, and although I should have thought about that question about 20 years prior, it was the first time that I really had a moment to think about what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to dedicate my time to students, to education, because I really feel like that's where you can make the most impact. So I did something really wacky. I applied to and got accepted to Teach for America. I always jokingly say that I was the only person there that wasn't 24 and from Harvard. And I taught in a classroom for a couple of years and I loved it, but I wanted to figure out a way to take that passion for education, take my understanding of what actually happens in a classroom, and take my leadership experience and roll that all into one and do something that could really make an impact. And so I just started looking around and I found BPA, and I thought it was sort of the perfect combination of my skills and my passion.
That is awesome. So how long have you been with BPA?
I've been with BPA about 3 years. And, you know, I started literally 2 weeks or 3 weeks before a national conference. And if you know anything about the national conference, there's 6,000 or 7,000 students. It's 5 days. There's a million moving pieces. And so I sort of got, you know, trial by water hose or whatever. but I got to meet so many people and I got to really see sort of the end result of the work so I could begin to plan, you know, with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say.
That's really good. I had an opportunity earlier this year before the pandemic to keynote a conference here in Florida. And I tell you, I loved it. I enjoyed the students, the teachers. And I believe the theme, if I'm not mistaken, was purpose to potential. I think it is. Yeah. Purpose to potential. If you would, can you speak to that for a moment? What does that mean, purpose to potential?
Well, you know, when I got there, they hadn't done any rebranding in a little while. And since I was new, we decided to approach it through a strategic planning session. And so I've spent the first six months listening and learning. I went from place to place. I interviewed hundreds of students, hundreds of teachers, our board members, our state directors, our classroom teachers, our national officers, our national staff. And I asked them the same questions. What brought you to BPA and what keeps you at BPA? And then, of course, I asked them about our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, and our threats. But the interesting thing was purpose to potential actually came from a conversation that I had with a group of students. And one 16-year-old girl said to me, before BPA, I had no place and no purpose.
Wow.
And I thought that was so powerful. I actually have it on a little sticky. And I keep it by my computer for those days that I've just had enough. I read that and remember. Because if you can think back, and it wasn't that long ago for you, but if you can think back to being a 16-year-old, right? And how alone you feel and how misunderstood you feel. And to think that the organization provided her a place and a purpose. And I thought it was too important that it had to be part of a tagline. And so we really kind of worked for that. So a lot of what you see on our website, our mission statement, our tagline, is really from the conversations we've had with students mostly and with other people involved in the organization.
Well, that is incredible. It really is. Because when students, as you stated, at that age, 16, most of these students, I remember when I was 16, well, not everything, but just knowing that as a teenager, trying to find your place, trying to find like, what is my purpose? Where am I going? Right. So to be able to go to a conference like BPA and to see other students who are doing the same thing, trying to improve themselves and learn more is really encouraging. So that's amazing. It really is. So what is your philosophy toward making an impact on young lives?
You know, I would like to believe that I am a servant leader. I would like to believe that I'm driven by the mission. And so, but you can't drive the mission and you can't impact lives if you don't know what it is people need. So I think the time I enjoy my work the best is when I get an opportunity to go to those communities, to go to those conferences, whether they're regionals or states, where I really get to talk with the students. And, you know, I will strike up a conversation on an elevator and ask people, what are the best parts of this? And what are the parts that you think we should change? And I ask those questions all the time. And I think you can't really impact people if you don't know what it is they need. A long time ago, early in my career, I worked on behalf of people with intellectual disabilities. And there's a saying in the intellectual disability community, nothing about us without us. And that has stayed with me, is that you can't really make movement and make change without making sure that you understand what it is people want. People have to drive that change, and they have to at least define that change. And then we have to do that work. So in order to impact them, we have to hear them. And then we have to keep our eyes and ears on the issues and the trends. That's the smart part. That's the business part. But how do you align those issues and those trends with what it is people really want to see in their own lives? I think that's really what motivates me, and it's what I hope motivates them.
So how does that look? How can I, as an educator, figure out what my students need in order to help them, to be in a better position to help them?
You know, it's so funny. We just had a leadership summit with our students, and it was a Saturday from noon to six. And I thought no one was going to show up, and certainly they wouldn't be engaged and they wouldn't stay. And they stayed on the whole time. And the conversations were so robust. But one of the things we had asked all of our presenters was, please make this engaging. Please talk to them about what it is they want to see. And I'm going to tell you, when you ask young people what they want, they know what they want, and they're very clear, and they're not frivolous, and it's not trivial. It's significant. And so I did a session, and I asked my famous questions, you know, what are we doing well? What could we do better? What would you like to see? What do you need? And they have wonderful ideas, and I've kept those, and we're going to bring that to our strategic planning, and we're going to bring that to our board and to our staff and make sure. But even the leadership conference was actually an idea of a student last year that had asked us to do a leadership summit. And so, you know, I keep implementing these wonderful things that students tell me all about, and I continue to be amazed.
That's great. So to ask young people, ask your students what they want, right? Mm-hmm. To ask them. So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So what if an educator feels, you know, I don't want to ask. I'm like, what if they say, like, for example, an educator may say, well, how can I make my class more engaging? And the students may say, well, you're boring or something. I mean, you know those thoughts, right? So how does an educator overcome the fear of asking a student or their students what they need, what they want?
You know, educators are the most dedicated, hardworking human beings alive. And I think if we didn't know that before, hopefully, again, this past year has really showed us the level of dedication that they have. I'm not going to say that there aren't times you don't get jaded, but I think that most educators, if they heard these success stories about the conversations we've had with students, I think they would be more than willing to ask. But listen, you have to have thick skin when it comes to kids, students. They'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. Right?
And sometimes the truth is not pretty. But yeah. Listen, and this is the truth. Open mind, open heart, right? You have to listen. If you're asking the question, you have to be willing to hear the answer. But you have to have an open mind and you have to have an open heart. And sometimes it does require a little bit on the teacher's part to kind of help them navigate, because a lot of people don't ask. And so the students don't really know how to articulate, or they ask, and then when students articulate, it's not met with a great response. And so we all have to just get better at meeting everybody where they are, understanding that if you've never asked them before, this might be new for them. And so to be, you know, kind of encouraging and be prepared, because you will hear the truth as they know it. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some nugget of something that you can't find in there that is a gem that you can work together on.
That is great. And let me ask you another question here. What initiatives have been most successful and why?
You know, this year has been really interesting because we did not have our national conference. It was canceled. And we learned about the closing of all the states very shortly before. So we really didn't even have an opportunity to pivot and to have a virtual conference, which other people have been able to do that. But right away, we got together and we thought, okay, what do we do to support our students? What do we do to continue to engage them? And, you know, we talked with some students, we talked with some advisors, and we got some ideas. So this summer, we did a virtual leadership academy with HP, and they were a wonderful partner, and they opened up their HP for Life content to us. And we had it just going on all summer. We had great speakers throughout the summer. And then we talked with folks about what they needed to keep engaged throughout the fall, because we didn't know what the fall was going to hold. And that's when we came up with the idea for the Leadership Summit, which had been an idea that a student had presented to us. It's where we came up with an idea to provide some professional development to advisors. And so that was just the big pivot. So those are the things that were innovative this year, because we were really trying to respond and be nimble to the experience. Prior to this, over the past couple of years, I have always really felt like at the National Center, our big role was to have a national conference. And I wanted to do more, because we have 45, 50,000 students, but only 5 to 10,000 students ever get to the conference. So what do you do to make sure that you are BPA all day, BPA 365, that you're really reaching all of the students? So we came up with a couple of initiatives that have been very popular. And that is, we have a learning management system now where we get business and industry leaders to provide us with content that we really believe is helpful to our students, and that is available to them all year round. It doesn't matter if you make it to nationals, you have access to that. So we took a look at those things that are really spectacularly supported at the national conference, and we tried to provide that throughout the year. So the industry, you know, summits and the webinars, we've had competitions where our industry partners have provided wonderful competitions that are real life experiences, and then provided all kinds of wonderful prizes and incentives if they participated. One of the things that we did this past fall was a leadership academy, a virtual leadership academy with Lead for Change. And if you're not familiar, they are an organization that really focuses on community service. And you go through the project, and then one lucky winner gets $10,000 to contribute to the charity of their choice.
Wow.
And so things like that, which really give students not only an opportunity to learn, but an opportunity to learn some things that are really going to help them in the future, but also to give back to their community. And I think, you know, right now, I would say we need connection more than ever. And so I think these kinds of, you know, the pivot towards the virtual things that really have meaning, I think have been really helpful.
Well, that's good. And you said connection now more than ever, especially during the age of social distancing. I mean, it can be very hard. But what BPA, what you have done with your team there is just amazing. So just keep up the great work with that. So how do you approach leadership?
Well, you know, so I said this earlier, and I really mean it. You know, I like to believe I'm a servant leader. I began my career as a community organizer, and I, you know, jokingly, I never, you know, you work in underrepresented communities, and you don't really have the resources. So what you have to do is be really good at bringing people together. And so I always thought that was my leadership style, and then I learned there was actually a name for that, and it's called servant leadership. And so I've always tried to implement that. I believe that, one, leaders develop other leaders. That's my role. As a leader, it is my role to develop other leaders. And it doesn't matter if that's my team that work at the National Center or if those are the students that we serve. So leadership development has become a very big focus for us at Business Professionals of America, because I believe that that is really the role of the leader. And I believe that that needs to be embedded in everything that we do. And that's really my philosophical approach to leadership.
Leaders develop other leaders. So important, isn't that right? I mean, you're going to need other people to continue the work, right? That's to continue after you, to continue carrying the torch. And I think one of the challenges that many people have in different organizations, different areas, not just in education, but other even businesses and other nonprofit organizations, would be that, let's say, someone is in leadership, but they're not developing other leaders. Right. And I think when we develop other leaders, we can make a greater impact and we can get a lot more done. And that's so good. That is so good. Now, let me ask you another question here. I know I'm always curious to know what makes another educator or just someone else successful. Like, what's different about that particular person from all of the others? So since we're speaking to educators and about educators, from all of the educators that you have worked with, what makes the ones who stand out stand out? What makes them stand out? What makes them outstanding?
I would say two things. Okay. Passion. Like, they have passion for their work, passion for their students. And I would say the second thing is resiliency. You know, it is not for the faint of heart. But if you know, there's that old expression, you know, people won't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think every educator that I've ever met truly loves their students and cares about them. But, you know, there are days that you leave the classroom and you're crying because it's not working. You know, you want your kids to succeed, and that's not always going to happen. But teachers don't give up. And most of the teachers I know that are tremendously successful don't believe for 1 minute that every kid couldn't succeed. And they never quit trying with that child.
Oh, that's powerful. That is powerful. I know that you're passionate about equity for students. And my question here is about ensuring equity for all students. Can you speak to that? What do you think needs to be done? I know there's a lot that we as a nation, and not just here, but everywhere, there are challenges, many challenges. Mm-hmm. So what do you think would be one or two or three solutions that can help with this challenge that we have right now?
Number one is you have to be intentional about it. You have to think about it, and you have to act on it, and you have to talk about it. Those are courageous conversations, and they're scary. But you have to be willing to talk about it, and you have to be very intentional in your approach. You know, when I got to BPA again, I got to the national conference within 3 weeks of being there. It's our top 7,000 students, and I didn't see a tremendous amount of diversity, and I was kind of brokenhearted because I believe what we offer it would be a benefit to anyone. So it was one of the reasons why we really thought about pivoting in terms of making sure that we had those things that are premier opportunities at the National Leadership Conference available to our students throughout the year. because I think it was critical that every student, that every member of BPA had access to those opportunities. So that was intentional. You know, we said, all right, this is a great thing. How do we make sure everyone has access to it? And I think you need to be willing to talk about it. We need to have the conversation. So at least at the National Center, we do talk about ways to make sure that people are included and who are we forgetting. I've been having conversations with our partners about how do we get into underperforming schools and what can we do about that. So we're having very active and ongoing conversations. We've included cultural competency in all of our leadership training, and we've included it even for our boards and our National Center staff. And that's not a one and done. That has to be an ongoing conversation.
So important. So important. That is great. And we are coming to the end of our time together. And I like to close our interviews with random questions. Random questions. Random questions. But I really, really appreciate all that you have shared. And I really wish we had more time, but I think we can have a part two and a part three for sure.
Sure.
So what's something I would never guess about you?
Let's see. About 5 years ago, hiked 185 miles through Spain to reach the Cathedral Santiago. Which
wow.
is a cathedral in Spain that people hike to every year since the 14th century. And many people hike 500 or 600 or 800 miles. I only hiked about 200 of those miles, but I did do that. So that's something that you might not know about me.
Well, that is awesome. 200 miles. That's a feat. That is, whoa.
Dave.
That's cool. That's really cool. And here's another quick random question. And it is, if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut
All
butter
right.
jelly.
Just peanut, no bread?
Oh, no, it has to be on bread. Peanut butter jelly sandwich. Let me rephrase
that. Okay, all right.
And you know what's really funny is I'm a complete and total foodie. I cook for people all the time. But secretly, my favorite food is peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That is cool. That's great. Dr. Ross, it was an honor to have you here with us today. And as we come to a close, any final words you want to share with our educators, anything, whatever comes to mind that you believe would be of great benefit in addition to what you have shared tonight?
You know, I think it's so important. I cannot imagine what it's like right now to be an educator, trying to figure out the virtual world one day and the hybrid world the next day and the in-class world the next day. You know, so much of the work that they do is connecting with their students and developing that relationship. And I just want to say that we appreciate you. We appreciate all that you're doing. We know how hard this is. And thank you, thank you, thank you for not giving up on our students.
Thank you again, Dr. Ross, for being with us on Z-Rated Success. And everyone who's listening to this podcast, please do check out BPA. And Dr. Ross, if you would, please share the website and also how we can support BPA.
So our website is www.bpa.org. If you're an industry leader, we would love to hear from you. We would love to connect you with our students. We think it's so important for them to have mentors and other folks who can support them. And if you're an educator, reach out, because we believe what we offer the students is valuable to them, to the school, and to their community, and to the world as well.
Thank you for listening to Z-Rated Success. I hope you were inspired today from our guests. I hope you learned some incredible strategies from our guests on what they're doing to impact their students to see them succeed. If you are an educator that wants to get a professional development or a presentation for your students to help build their self-esteem so that they are not following the crowd, but that they are knowing who they are so they can stand out, please send an email to info@nickzz.com so we can set up a time to talk. I would love to see about getting my speaking program or my best-selling books or my professional development in your school. Thank you so much for listening. And that's a wrap. I'm your host, Nick Zizi, reminding you today that imitation is limitation. Unleash your zebra.
If you've received value from today's podcast, make sure to subscribe and visit ZRatedSuccess.com for more tips and strategies that will help you stand out instead of fit in. Reminding you today to unleash your zebra.
Unleash your zebra.